Thank you, praise team. Those are some good old ones there today. Tell you, this week's been a little tough for me. A good week, but a little tough week this week. About Wednesday, you guys remember all that dirt that was in the air before the rain happened? I had an asthma attack. All that dirt in the air got to me, and my blood oxygen levels dropped to like in the 80s. It was scary. But it got me thinking about how this sermon and about how little things like dirt, pollen, how they can cause big problems. Just little things. Big problem for me. It was really scary. And this one, this passage in Ecclesiastes 10 is all about the little things that cause big problems. It's like Paul says in 1 Corinthians, you know, a little leaven destroys the whole lump. And that's what this passage is about. So we're in Ecclesiastes 10, 1 through 7. Hopefully you have started to find your way there in whatever you're using as a Bible these days. Hopefully it's a real Bible. I saw a new fun one. It was a comic book Bible. I thought that was kind of fun. I wonder how it is. I don't know. I didn't read it. Ecclesiastes 10, 1 through 7. Let's go ahead and stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. Even as fools walk along the road, they lack sense, and show everyone how stupid they are. If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great offense to the rest. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, the sort of errors that arise from a ruler. Fools are put in many high positions, while the rich occupy the low ones. I have seen slaves on horsebacks while princes go on foot like slaves. Before we go any further, let's pause for prayer. Father God, we praise you today. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful blessing of your word. Lord, I pray that our hearts and mind be turned to you right now as we seek your wisdom from these passages, as we seek your wisdom right now from your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. That's a interesting, you may be seated, that is an interesting metaphor there, isn't it? A dead flies give bad perfume. Something as small as a fly can spoil the perfume. Now, perfume, when you read it in your Bible, is not about smelling nice for when you go out on a date. Perfume at the time period was very, very valuable. It was used for bathing when you didn't have access to water. So they would sometimes carry little bottles of perfume around their neck, kind of like we hang air fresheners in our car. It was a luxury item. Often the better perfumes were associated with wealth. It was expression of love. You might give it at a wedding ceremony, or they also used it in burial ceremonies to mask the smell of dead and decaying bodies. It's a very valuable item. We're not just talking about something, well, I might pick up some perfume at Walmart's today on the way home. We're talking about something that would cost a lot of money. And so these perfumes, very valuable. And he says something as little as a fly, and we know how annoying those can be, right? And something as little as a fly can ruin the whole batch of perfume. A little folly can overshadow a lifetime of good. a fool's heart, he says, is it symbolizes the center of one's thinking, the values. He says, in a fool's heart, it leads them in the wrong direction, and their path, their demeanor, it works all and exposes what's in the inside. It reminds us these passages are all about integrity in the small things. You know, those decisions you make when you think no one's watching. The small indulgences or the shortcuts that seem harmless. The tones we use when we're annoyed. Aren't we all guilty of that one? This is where the fruit, you know those fruits of the Spirit? There are 9 of them. Some of you can list them, right? You're like going through them in your head. Love, joy, peace. There's one, self-control. Self-control. I don't like that one. One, it's self, which means I have to do something. And then control. Definitely don't like that attitude. I'm free range. I'm not controlled. But we think self-control is a fruit that the Spirit grows within us. When we are following after God, when we're following after the Spirit, we have a growing. That doesn't mean you have to get it perfect right away. A growing self-control. Of course, that also means see that when they're growing, and we can give grace to people when they snap or give a little attitude, right? Because self-control grows like a plant. And so we think of self-control, and often when we think of self-control, we think of avoiding the big sins, right? And I'm going to self-control. I'm not going to drive drunk today. But often it's really about mastering those small impulses. The comment that you could have made, but you didn't. The bitterness you chose not to feed. Not that you didn't have that snap of anger, but you chose not to dwell in the anger and feed the anger. Self-control is often about those little things. And it grows within us as we grow in the Spirit, as we water it. And what's our watering system, right? We've talked about this. Our watering system is things like read your Bible, praying, meditation, fasting, spiritual disciplines. And as we grow in self-control, then those little things we can take master of. But the passage, he doesn't just end with a little fly. He goes on to talk about responding to about unjust leaders, because that seems to be a big thing, which really is surprising when you think, if it's Solomon who's writing this at the end of his life, he's the leader. He's the king. The buck stops there. And yet he's talking about unjust leaders. Maybe he's reflecting on some times in his own life or people he put up, because during Solomon's reign as king, their bureaucracy blossomed and had a very fruitful reign. And so maybe he's talking about some of the people that popped up in bureaucracy and all the other stuff that's going on. And he's looking back and he's talking about if a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. In other words, don't overreact. Don't abandon your responsibilities. Sometimes the wisest thing, even the wise say thing bad intention, but not in fear. Staying rooted in righteousness is what he's talking about here. Don't let someone else's foolish behavior dictate your own behavior. Because isn't that what we sometimes do? We get caught up in someone else's foolishness, and we let that dictate how we're going to behave? Well, I responded that way because he or she did this or that. And no, let's wait. Hold your ground with integrity, trusting that God honors faithfulness, even in systems that are broken. And so once again, we see the call that Ecclesiastes does not talk about, but that call of those fruits of the Spirit, self-control, patience, gentleness, those things that grow in us, they equipped us not to respond and not to react, but to actually take time and respond with righteousness. And they have to grow within us. Think about some of you, how when you were 19, how quickly you flew off the handle, or you jumped into the situation. Oh, it may still show up sometimes, right? But how much have you grown? Why? Because you've learned to handle situations better in Jesus Christ and the fruits of the Spirit. And so as we grow, and it teaches us to respond in his righteousness. And in a broken system or under poor leadership, our response reveals our character more than our actions do. How do we respond to foolish people? And so then he continues on, the author of Ecclesiastes, he continues on and talks about reversal of societal roles. Solomon, he points to an upside-down system where fools are in high places and servants are on horseback and princes walk on their feet. Because what he's doing there, he's painting a picture, right? It's the reverse of what you expect. Princes ride and servants on horseback. And then, so you're seeing a reversal there of what's the norm, what you're expected. And this isn't really a criticism about class or background. It's about competency. It's about the people that are the best, the princes, are from the lowest class, the servants. Last week we talked about the wise, poor person who saved the city but was forgotten. Yet the people in charge are fools. In Solomon's day, slaves weren't given education or training. That's not something that happened, especially to lead a nation. But the point in this thing is that wisdom is not always what is rewarded, and foolishness often is. The foolish often end up in power, and it's frustrating. And Solomon saw the frustration. Like, well, how did you get to that position? Some of you have thought that about your boss, haven't you? Like, how did you ever get there? And it's frustrating, but it's not surprising. Jesus even warns us in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, right, that the world's often going to get it backwards. The world's often going to get it backwards. And so what we're supposed to be doing here, instead of despair, we're called to remain faithful, even when society seems foolish. We're not supposed to be shocked when folly is exalted. We're not supposed to give in to cynicism. We're supposed to let our faithfulness define your path, not your popularity, not your power. So what do we do with this passage? One, we have to guard ourselves in the small things. Guard our integrity in those little things. So we have to start asking ourselves, what are the dead flies that threaten our family, our life, our ministries, our witness? Those little things when you think no one's looking. The little things, the attitudes, the grumblings, the gossip. Oh, I know, it's just prayer request. What are the small behaviors, those habits that the fruit of self-control need to be applied to? Not just the big things. I didn't murder anyone today. Yes, it's fantastic. I'm so glad you didn't. Because that throat punch was really tempting, I know. What are the small things that led up? What are the small things that need mastering? Those are what spoil the. So when we continue to think about this, what are the dead flies? What are the in broken systems? And we know this world is broken. So systems are broken. How do we respond in those broken systems? To leaders who act foolishly, unjustly. Some of you are like, I know that leader. There are people in this room thinking about the president. Someone here thinking about that congressperson. How do I respond in a broken system? Some of you, it's more local, right? Are we driven by reactions? Are we driven by reactions or by the Spirit of Christ in this broken system? That's something we have to ask ourselves. And the third thing that we can take when we read this passage is we can't be surprised when, what's the passage say, stupid people? Pretty sure it says stupid in there. Are exalted. But the faithful remain overlooked. Just like that poor man last week. The poor wise man. We can't be surprised. We have to remain faithful. Even in that situation. God is not surprised by a broken system. He's not surprised. He knows it's broken. He works through faithful people in broken places. He'll work through you as long as we remain faithful. And remember, Jesus, he lived under Roman rule, which meant they were seen as less than, right? The whole world was controlled by the Romans, and Paul was special because he was a Jew and a Roman citizen. Jesus was not. Jesus was not a Roman citizen. He was seen as less than. It was corrupt, had corrupt religious leaders. They put the religious leaders, the Romans could put religious leaders in place to be king over their little domains. So they would remain in charge. That's what the Romans did. Think about it this way. If the United States government was to come into Laughlin and put not only the city mayor in place, say, you're going to be mayor because I want you to follow my president, my rules, but they also said, okay, we're going to bring a pastor in here that agrees with my doctrine. And that's what the Roman people did. That's what they did. That's the kind of stuff they did. And yet, even in this situation, and lots of people were calling for them to rebel violently, Jesus remained faithful to the plan Even to the point where he said, God, if there be a plan B, right? Let's roll with this one. Because let this cup pass from me. I don't want this cup. I don't want to drink from this. But not mine, but thine will be done, right? And this passage from Ecclesiastes, it's not just about complaining or talking about. It's about, it's a call to wisdom. It's a call to follow after God's righteousness. We can't control who ends up in power. We can control how we walk before God. We can't control that sometimes our anger for existence, our emotions bubble up. We can choose whether we're going to feed that or not, how we're going to respond in those moments. We can't say that Satan, the adversary, is never going to tempt me. Because if you believe that, you're a fool. We can say how I'm going to respond when temptation happens. By mastering the little things. The little things. Little things that some of them destroy and some of them build. Those little things. So let's let the fruit of the Spirit shape even the smallest actions because of the kingdom of God. Let's let faithfulness be our center and lead us towards the eternal reward. Father God, Lord, I praise you today. Lord, I thank you for the blessing of your Spirit. Lord, I pray that we may turn to you in the little things. Lord, that our hearts and our minds be focused on you in just all that we do. Lord, I pray that you grow those spiritual fruit within us. Lord, like a muscle or a plant, that you grow those things in us, that we may become more like you. Lord, I pray that a little bit of sin may ruin the whole thing. And so, Lord, I pray that you help us to remove the sin from us, make the right choices to follow your wisdom as you freed us from that slavery. Let us worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to go to a time.